Hi, and welcome to The Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric Kruger, The Expansive Podcast / YouTube series. And of course, on the on the other side of my screen is my ever elegant, ever well-dressed. I mean, you can step back a little bit and let people see the
can
real
I show, show, now that we are YouTube series, can I show my...
What's up, Eric? Hello, everybody. Hello, listeners. I'm very good. Thank you. I'm loving the Sunday morning ritual. We're now recording every Sunday morning, so it's something to look forward to, almost an opportunity to unpack the week. It's amazing. It's like this week-long journal that we have that we say, okay, well, what happened this week? How did it affect us? How did it impact us? Just the process of preparing for the discussion is just a gift in itself. And then obviously putting ourselves on the spot to record it. So we have to think really well and act really smart and say the right things because our brands can be benefiting. But to be honest, it's such a helpful process to have this sort of downloads on a weekly basis. So how's it going up there in Joburg, Eric? You did send me one very exciting WhatsApp that you are getting Axel a brother. So tell us about that.
Well, potentially. I don't wanna say that it's definitely happening. We're looking at two different pups. But actually it's kind of been whittled down to like the one pup that we're gonna go see on Thursday. Mm. So yeah, we'll see. You know, we're taking Axel with to see how they
I was just
gel.
Gonna say, yeah. That's important.
They're going because he's a little bit older, the new pup. He's 3 years old. And Axel is two. Well, going on two. So, yes, that's very exciting. And otherwise, cold. I mean, we can see that we're both pretty much dressed, ready for winter, because it is the middle of winter.
Yeah, quite.
but, yeah, no, it's been going well, dude. I think I'm quite excited for today's topic because it's a question that I've received a couple of times during the past week where people have been saying, you know, they want to get into, and I think this has been a very common thread during lockdown as well, where we have the space now. So now let me start thinking about creating a podcast or writing a blog or doing an online course or, you know, and. So everyone's thinking about how do they do more online? How do they get more visibility online? And obviously, we've been in this space for quite some time. You've done hundreds of videos, I think, by now. If I go look at your library.
Look, I was watching my first video ever from 5 years ago. My God. And I'm going to post it eventually. Not horrible. I honestly love that guy, man. He's trying so hard. He has no idea what he's doing. His hands are moving far too much. He's repeating himself. He was doing it inside a studio. Phones at that stage weren't good enough to make your own videos. I'd never seen a Gary Vee. I just thought I wanted to do something. Either Gary Vee wasn't around. So, yes, I watch it and I'm like, whoa, that's interesting.
Please send it to me. I'd love to see it.
No. Let me just build up the courage. I'll make a post about it eventually. I'll make a post. I'll send it to you.
Listen, dude, but so I think the question that people have been asking me this week is just around how do they get started in this content game and how do they need to think about it? And I think that's something that we speak about quite often is the content is just one aspect of creating a presence online, but the thinking that you have about the content that you create is maybe more important because with everyone rushing in, we kind of said that there's two big issues that emerge is that you have a quality issue and you have a consistency issue. So maybe before we dive into like any more detail, let's step back and just say like, what is your thinking process around content that you put out into the world? Like, what is it? How do you think about it at a high level?
Mm. Mm. You know, I listened to an author. He was a very well-known author. I can't remember his name now, but I remember watching the interview and what he said, it was Ryan Holiday. That's it. Ryan Holiday was on a podcast and he was saying it's the weirdest thing. Is it feels like I have to give birth to something. Mm. It's almost like my being is feeling perturbed that this information is sitting inside it. It needs to be outside of my being. And so it's weird because it's always about the motivation of what you're trying to achieve. And I think putting content out can obviously be very beneficial for your influence, your social capital, and like sort of introducing yourself to the world before you even arrive at a meeting. Awesome, obviously. But if you're doing it for that sake only, what you become is very mechanical, very calendar driven and time driven. Like what's the best time to post? Mm. For me, that's too mechanical. And I think that too many people follow the calendar format of sharing. Mm. But if your motivation changes to, I've discovered something new that is so exciting for me, that is so overbearing to hold inside of me that I have to let people know about it. It becomes more authentic. It becomes more on the go. It's because it's, look, I'm on the go. I just discovered something. Not, okay, I'll keep that for the studio and then I'll shoot it with the light lighting and I'll say this and I'll say that. And I think that marketing it in that way just actually takes away the authenticity. And now we're in this world of hyper-transparency. You need to feel like you need to birth something. And in that process of birthing, you become more mission-focused rather than a goal-orientated of having to build influence online. Mm. And so I think it's important to become very clear on your motivating factor of what you're trying to achieve and why you're trying and doing it. And is your ability to teach the most important thing, or is your ability to want to create an online brand the most important thing? And I think the best people that we follow have got this like it's such a clear urge to want to get something out. And often you finish putting a post together and the best posts that you've done have just happened in the spur of the moment. And you're like, geez, I need to share this. It's been so amazing. I think another thing, just quickly before I know I go on a long monologue, so apologies. One thing I'm a teacher plants fan, and I've done many different teacher plants from South America, and ayahuasca is one of them. And ayahuasca once said to me, when you get access to your genius, what you have to do is share it, because the genius that you're getting access to is not for you, it's for everybody. And when you stop sharing it, you stop getting access to it. And I think that's a wonderful understanding of abundance, of giving your best information out as freely and abundantly as possible so that people feel it. You know, my mom said to me, my first book, What's Your Moonshot? She said, you know why people are loving it so much is because you wrote it from the heart and people are reading it from the heart. And I think it's that level of authenticity that we crave as humans.
I want to latch onto what you said in reverse order. So when it comes to the sharing thing, I think there's actually also a bit of tactical genius in it as well, because one of the big restraints people have when it comes to sharing online, one of the things that hold them back the most is the fact that they feel, well, who am I to be putting things out there? Who am I to be like talking about business or leadership or the future of whatever? And what I've always told people is to forget about the idea of you being the best at it, and just to think of yourself as someone who just who's on a journey and you are sharing your journey. So you are learning things and then you're just teaching those things. You're not, it's not imbued with some sort of like I'm an expert or I'm a thought leader. It has nothing to do with that. It's just I'm learning and I'm sharing and I'm learning and I'm sharing. And that kind of takes away the pressure of you having to be the authority. But with the upside of over time, when you do this, you become the authority. So that's number one. And then number two is, you know, when I was doing Better Man, I mean, I wrote 800 emails over the course of about 2 or 3 years, and every single day, and I never missed a beat. I think I only took off very structured, like 2 week breaks in December, because I realized no one was reading it then. Everyone was on holiday. So I started saying, well, instead of putting effort in, let me also take time off and then resume like in January. And that worked out very well. But what I realized was for 750 emails, dude, I was on ball every single day and I was focused and there was something to say. And there was like, and maybe even some days there wasn't something to say, but because I had an audience, I was waiting for something to land in the inbox the next day, I sat down and I made the time to be creative. But there came a point where I was completely burnt out of content and it started feeling like work that I needed to do. And that's when I realized I can't go on like this. Like the moment it started feeling like work was the moment I said, okay, I think I need to stop it. And so we put it into a book, and funnily enough, for the past 6 months, maybe I've had this feeling in me that I want to do something that is daily. And like, I actually post daily in LinkedIn anyway, but I've been feeling like I want to create a podcast or have a daily email or something that goes out again. And it's because I feel like there's so much more that's built up again that I almost want to have that frequency and that cadence. And I want to have people expecting the work to come out, because there's also something to be said for being forced to sit down to think about, not force, maybe that's the wrong word, but to sit down and to have to do the thinking work that is required, right? And haven't we seen that in our workshops now as well?
Well, look, did you say you want to start a podcast? I thought we were here dating on this podcast, Eric. Let's unpack that quickly. Are you going to cheat on me? Like, are you telling everybody on air that you're seeing somebody else? Okay. Yeah, what did you mean by podcast? You want to have your own podcast?
I'll tell you offline.
Okay. I think that, and I say this often, the commitment to writing a book with a date. Always forces you, and it almost like says, look, get your shit together, get information going, catch a flow, read more. You just put yourself under more. It's like, look, if you enter a running race, what do? It's the same thing. This is just a mental commitment that you're making. And so, yeah, I agree 100% with you. And I think your daily emails definitely put you on the map. And also not only that, but they give you gravitas in your own thinking, you know, and I think that's also really important to understand. So yes, writing a book for me is that, and even this podcast is that, being my only podcast that I think about and do. And so all these things are commitments that we do in our workshops and all these things. And you know, it's almost like self-teaching. And Mark Sham talks about the sort of informal learning that you position yourself in as, and you start doing. And Mark, like famously, never did matric, but now he teaches some of the biggest organizations in the world around education. And I think that's a wonderful example of, you know, the self-commitment to wanting to be part of the transformation and putting yourself out there to be able to learn as we go along. But I think what sparked this podcast as well was a couple of late night WhatsApps between us sharing Joe Rogan's sort of new found positioning in podcasting. And I think because it redesigned our understanding of the worth of podcasting. And for the longest time, podcasters has only just been funded because of the advertising on the podcasting and really just as a brand play and as well as somewhere to share. But now we've seen with this $100 million. So if people don't know, Joe Rogan got paid $100 million to exclusively be on Spotify, and he agreed, and the share price of Spotify went up a few billion dollars. And so they made an investment of $100 million, and they went up in shares of $2 billion. And the one video I sent you, Eric, the guy said, so let's just take a step back and think about the execs at YouTube and Apple that were most probably given the opportunity to counter Spotify's deal of $100 million and refused to. And then the next day they see that Spotify went up a couple billion dollars and is all over the press. Here we are talking about Spotify, the marketing, the positioning. And look, Spotify's always been ahead of the game. Let's not kid about it. Even in music, they were way ahead of the game. The CEO and founder said he was hated at the boardroom meetings of music industry execs for 10 years before they bought into and understood that this is the new way to consume music. And so he's obviously one step ahead buying the sort of the Joe Rogan brand. And so it gives us this inclination or this little like perspective of the future of understanding information, well curated, enjoyable, conversational information that Joe Rogan has almost become this global teacher on many topics that we didn't really think about. Like I watched the other day on fungus. A 2.5-hour lecture on fungus kingdom. So look, I think the question is, and I think you and I are busy with this, and that's why we wanted to make this podcast today, is the question is, why are you creating content? How are you creating content? When are you creating content? How are you positioning yourself into this new world where $100 million is given to a podcaster for having a conversation on a camera and a front of a mic? Like, hang on. Did you just see what happened there? 100 million and 2 billion up on shares. We're talking about numbers that CNN most probably doesn't even see. It's like, are you joking? This is a brand new way. So the question is that. And so what ideas have you got around content, Eric?
Look, where you at? You know, the future belongs to individual content creators. Like like that's what's going to happen. Like all the big media houses, the Spotify's, they're going to invest into personal brands. And we're going to see that more and more, right? Like we'll see what happens with Charlie D'Amelio and all those guys from TikTok, for example. Have you seen Mr. Beast?
No.
So he's on YouTube. He's like the hottest new YouTuber, dude. And he uploads a video yesterday. Today he's on 16 million views. it's insane, you know.
What do you do?
Random things. Like the latest episode, he's giving away money. Like he like literally just gets people into the studio and he makes them take all these like crazy bets. So he says to the dude, you can either have this key or you can have $10,000. Which one do you choose? The key can go to nothing. It can also go to something awesome. The guy chooses the key, goes outside. It leads to a brand new Audi. They put a cheese puff underneath like 10 different plastic cups. And he says to the guy, choose. And if you can choose the right one, you'll get a Tesla. Guy picks it up, poof, cheese puff, go outside, here's your Tesla. So, so he's just having a lot
of
fun.
It's a game show. Sounds like a game show.
Well, I think that's just one of his episodes. He does lots of random things. But anyway, so, I mean, all these guys, you know, like, they're almost bigger than pop stars and rock stars. And, like, it's insane. So, if I dial it back, if I think, where do you start? I think, number one, it'll always come back to what you say, follow your highest excitement. So, it'll always come back to, like, first off, don't worry about the content. First, worry about, like,
why?
What ignites you? Like, what excites you? Yeah. Yeah. And start writing about that. And the second thing then is share your journey. So don't worry about being the expert. Just share your journey. Mm-hmm. And number three is I would actually initially, if you just start creating content, I would say set a schedule for yourself, you know. And, I mean, we have a schedule. Every Sunday we get on this call. And it's very easy to let yourself off the hook if you don't have that. So set a schedule for yourself every Wednesday, Thursday, publish something. And you have an entire week to think about it. And there's a very good chance you won't do anything the entire week until the day before. And then you'll have
it out. And that's okay because, you're gathering the week's thoughts. Look, I think I like schedule and no schedule. Let me explain that because I agree with you. The schedule is important. My schedule is to finish my book, to have it in the shops by September, Future Next. So I'm on schedule. With you, I'm on schedule. But my creativity around my excitement is not on schedule because you can't schedule that. You can't say, well, okay, now I want to be creative and connect some invisible dots. It happens to me on a run or it happens to me when I'm walking with the dogs. So for me, yes, schedule and no schedule. Let your creativity bubble up. But then in the sharing aspect of it, whether it's a long-term project like a book, which you're committed to a publisher and a marketer and a PR company, and then work backwards to your weekly shares, maybe your daily shares. And look, on my Instagram, I do those black and white posts. And those are also like a culmination of thinking for me that when I see that it's time for me to put one of those posts up, it gets me to think very like sharply, shortly. So I think also what we can, maybe another point to add to your point is systematically look at saving your creativity in different ways. So, you know, long-term book, short-term Instagram post, middle, medium-term like podcast. Yeah. So that's also a way to think about.
What are you doing? I mean, you're only doing this one podcast, right? But what else are you doing from a content creation point of view?
I'm a loyal, loving partner. You know? Not all of us are, so that's okay, Eric. We'll do that next week. I'm making mini movies. So I did post one the other day. And so I'm in the process of planning other mini movies just for entertainment's sake and getting a message across differently.
Cool.
I'm doing online courses. So I've started incorporating and speaking to some really like experts in the field of building funnels and all those sort of things, but in a new way. I don't want to be categorized in those cheap sales, buy now, 10 minutes left, $2,000 for 80. I hate that stuff. So incorporating discussions with people in that world, because I don't really understand that world. Online courses, both in my live format and future preparedness and in the offline format. This podcast and the book that's coming out, you know, so just extending the robustness of the options of to engage with my information. So
I was thinking because we were going to speak about content, I thought this morning I haven't seen you do a video in quite a while. Or did I miss it?
No, I haven't. I haven't. And I think the thing is I've been putting together a Future Preparedness Masterclass, and I've been deep in that and. I don't feel an urge to share anything right now. And as that was that giving birth to something. And I think, you know, we are as humanity going through a really tough time. And there's a lot of sensitive issues at the forefront. The Black Lives Matter movement and what's going on in the States and what's going on in South Africa with the number of people that are hungry. I think the sensitivity to sharing information also is important, because, you know, I want to respect those very hurtful and tough situations people are going in. So I don't feel the urge to want to add to that because I don't know enough about it. But I also think that maybe sometimes I'm sharing something that's not really pertinent to what's going on. Mm. And I think as a global family, we're going through pain at the moment. You know, there's a rebirthing of us. Mm. And the last few months inside the birth canal are tough. They're uncomfortable. We feel agitated and frustrated, and we don't know what world we're coming into, just like a baby doesn't know what world it's coming into after birth. And I think that's where we are at the moment. So, no, I haven't made a video because I don't feel the urge to speak about anything publicly yet.
Yeah, you know, I think it's also interesting that I wonder for how many people wanting to do content this stage, it's a FOMO game, you know? And it's always one of the worst motivations to have when it comes to creating content or doing anything really, you know, I can speak for myself because I know you're busy with online courses, but I know that's something I want to do as well. And so there's almost a part of me that's like, you need to keep up with the game. You're like, you can't fall behind. But then at the same time, there's space and there is time, you know, but we always feel like we can't fall behind and everyone else is doing it. I need to do it. And that's always one of the worst signals to go and do something.
You know, you run out of energy quickly, firstly. Mm. The second, things don't flow. Mm. It's just, it doesn't flow. It's like just hard to do. So you'll know when you become attuned to what you should be doing, it becomes such an easy process to express yourself in that world, and anything else just becomes tough. That's why for me, like when a social media company says to me, you must make a video every morning, Tuesday, 9 o'clock, I cannot because my creativity is not there. It feels terrible for me to want to do that. It feels fake. And so you'll know when it's right and not right, you know, and this podcast feels right. You know, that's why it's my only podcast and I love it so much. So it feels right for me. And so I think
I should probably just go on the record at this stage and say, I do not have another podcast. The Expansive is my one and only love. And we should really do more to market it, by the way. We should also put that on the record.
We're also having a chat about extending our voice, and this podcast is a big part of it, to be able to try and extend our brands and help more people and engage more people to work with us on both our talks and our workshops and our online courses, just to build a plethora of ways to hyper-personalize and hyper-seamlessize, if that's a word.
No, a word.
Make more convenient your access to this sort of information.
Listen, brother, as always, I think that was great. It's great to speak about a topic that can be very, very technical, but at a different level and come at it from a different angle, which is what I think we did today. I think this is also a topic that we'll probably continue speaking about because it's just the world that we are a part of and that we are continuously looking at how do we improve what we do. So thank you for that. You'll be traveling to Joburg a bit later, so maybe I'll even see you later in the week.
Otherwise, coming to that partake on Saturday.
Yes.
So we haven't made it official. Mark's still putting the stuff together. And
I was going to say, I haven't received Saturday, the formal Canva invite or anything.
The drone will be arriving at your house this week sometime with invite.
Okay.
That's happening on Saturday. Yeah, I'm coming to Joburg just for a few days just to get out of the farm to see what's happening out there. Looking forward to it. So, yeah, thanks so much. It was a great episode. Look, I also think we must remember that the market's changing so quickly. Mm. So it's not even just us. It's just like the market's switching and what we're liking and don't liking. Our impatience levels are higher than ever as consumers. So, you know, it's a good time to keep as nimble and adaptable as possible when it comes to these sort of things. But ultimately, at the base of it, without authenticity, you're just making noise. So stop it.
Love it.
Sweet. Okay, ciao.
Cheers, brother.
All right.